Let's get to Rabbi Yaakov Menken and Paul Teller. Guys, welcome. So lots of people saying that the Israeli intelligence very upset about some signal leak. Like, what do they care, Paul?
That's a great question. I don't know. I don't know. I think, look, I guess the whole world should really have some interest, right, in the signal leak. Was this, a one-time thing? Was this something that happens all the time, right? Why is how did the reporter get added? These are questions, I guess, that are all going to be answered. But, the good news is, I think what the world saw was, like, a group of leaders that cares very much about the president, vice president, and the United States of America and keeping it safe. And so that was a great window into that, as unfortunate as the mode of that window may have been. But, I think we can look at it that way.
Well, one of the things that I thought was really dumb, I just got to be honest with you, is like people saying, Goldberg? I always forget the first name.
Jonah?
Jonah, right? Why was Jonah right. Goldberg's number in the phone? Okay, you know how many liberals I've got on my phone?
Or Jeffrey, maybe Jeffrey. Jeffrey, sorry, Jeffrey Goldberg. Right? My bad.
You know how many liberals I've got on my phone?
AEI guy, yeah.
You know how many liberal reporters and editors I've got on my phone over, a 30-year career, whenever contacts came out? I mean, I don't know, thousands, I get hundreds. I talk to them. I mean, I don't know how they got, I put them there, right? I mean, I've talked to, so it's like, oh, how did he get in this phone? I don't know. The guy's the editor of The Atlantic. I'm sure at some point they had some dialogue when he was, a congressman or running for Congress or something. And, who knows? Who cares? All kinds of names are in your phone. That to me is about the stupidest thing on the right that I've heard. Oh my God, there's some conspiracy. How is he in his phone? I don't know. Who's in my phone? I mean, I've got lots of people on my phone that are on the other side, right? Who cares?
Yeah.
Right?
Who added him to the chat? Are we sure it was his phone rather than...
No, it was his phone.
There were enough people in that chat.
The chat was organized. The chat group was his assistant, Wong or somebody, whoever his assistant is, was in charge of setting up the group chat feed on Signal, which was an approved secure network. Signal's not the problem. So it's not like Mike Wall sat there and like added names on his phone. Right, his assistant set it up, and they simply added Goldberg by mistake, and they didn't check it, and that is a dereliction of duty, and so he should be fired today. Why he's still there is beyond me. I don't know what Walls is doing, but if somebody did that to me, I don't care who they are, I would have fired him by 5 o'clock. Your job is to check out the people that are on the thing. It's secure, dude. That's your job. And obviously, if you can't perform it, you simply can't work for me. Hope things work out. Here's your severance. Clean your office out. That would have ended it in 5 minutes. Unbelievable that this thing is still going on.
Well, the thing I don't fully understand. Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I should say the thing I don't fully understand is, I don't know how many of your listeners have Signal, whatever, but, it's something we use, here at Advancing American Freedom for, coalition building and allies and all that kind of stuff. Someone can't just, slip into a chat. Like, it's very obvious the way the app is set up when you're adding somebody. Like, you see their name. And someone say, well, maybe he used a screen name, it was different, whatever. Maybe, but then you're familiar with that screen name. Like, you know what I mean? In other words, it's not just like, oops, someone just gets added. You have to make an affirmative decision to add somebody, and you know who you're adding. So that's the only question I'm like, huh, then, how did that actually happen? Because it's pretty hard to, accidentally add someone to a Signal chat group. But I guess we'll figure that out.
I mean, look, I think he got the initials mixed up, and the person in charge of it simply didn't check the work. I mean, how do you not check 5 times? I mean, how many times have you, think back when you're doing a sensitive email or a sensitive text, and we all do them, right? Well, for whatever reason, we don't want it. It's sensitive, right? Could be because we're putting an employee on probation or something. I don't want it out there. I mean, how many times do you look, okay, let me check who's on this email chain? and Michael, right? I don't know how many times I've said, okay, that's not the person. That person should be on it. And you hit the delete before you send it. You did the same thing on text, you know? And this is just like internal, like business stuff that you don't want another employee to be embarrassed or something. You might be admonishing them or whatever it might be. It's sensitive. You be sure that who's on there. The guy didn't check his work. He should get, they should have fired his ass in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's clearly human
error. Yeah, I hear you.
And one of the saddest pieces about this is that, you know, the left is so anxious to make a talking point out of this. It's not quite as deliberate as keeping a server in your basement to do an end run about security. I mean, this is totally different. Also, like their attitude was, what were they doing using Signal, which is a public messaging app? Oh, so the Trump administration in 2 months should have developed a useful app or had issued everybody satellite phones to avoid what precisely? I mean, Signal is so popular in Washington for a reason, because it is so darn private. The security here, you honestly couldn't do better. You honestly could not, you know, and there's not, certainly not if it was designed by government. Not a question there. But the idea that, you know, this was pure play human error. Somebody made a very dumb mistake. And like you said, the processes and procedures here, you really have to build in to see your security. How are you dealing with human error? Because somebody, like you said, somebody should have checked it. That's all that needed to happen.
Paul.
It's a good question. I mean, the thing I also question is, like, how do we know how secure it is? They tell us it's secure. But, like, do we think if international terrorists were plotting a nuclear attack on Signal, like, no one would be able to access it, right? Like, I don't know. Personally, I don't buy that. So who knows?
I'm sorry, I'm a techie, I'm an engineer. I get to talk about this stuff, like, you know, computers, cybersecurity, and actually know what I'm talking about. It's open source software. Anybody can go through the Signal code and see what is there and what is not there. And believe me, they have. There's a reason why. I mean, crime syndicates use the same software as the government precisely because it's a lot of the systems that are out there, somehow the message you write ends up on a central repository that somebody can theoretically monitor or decrypt. Here, it doesn't work that way. It's encrypted on your phone. It's sent directly to the recipient. It's decrypted there. There's no opportunity for somebody else to get in unless they manage to actually rewrite the app on that person's phone. Pretty difficult.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe that's right. I don't know. Like I said, it just seems like, right, if international terrorists were plotting a nuclear attack, the FBI would be sitting there scratching its head. Oh, my God, we can't access this. I don't know. You know, same with Proton Mail, same with WhatsApp, same with all these things that everyone thinks is so super secure. I don't know. Put me in the skeptical column.
Well, I think WhatsApp has already been discredited as not secure. It's just another method to talk to people, like text. I mean, that's what I've heard. I mean, I'm on WhatsApp. I don't really deal with it that much. You know, once in a while, somebody will text me on it. I mean, I use it basically for international travel because, you know, I want to stay in touch with my family when I'm traveling in the Middle East or whatever I do. Guys, what got missed in this was the tremendously successful operation against the Houthis. You
right.
Want to comment on that?
Exactly.
Paul.
And that's unfortunate, right? I mean, not the attack. The attack's fantastic. Kudos to President Trump for ordering it, and it seems like it's been successful from all reports I've seen. But, yeah, it's a shame that we're all talking more about the Signal leak than, you know, the fact that this attack was needed and the fact that it was carried out and that President Trump is clearly not an isolationist, thank God. He takes, you know, takes firm military action as needed to protect American interests and allied interests. And that's a great sign. You know, we got to keep emphasizing that. It makes the regions more secure. Israel, of course, more secure since Yemen, you know, missiles have been fired from Yemen directly towards, you know, the Israeli homeland, and America more secure through its, through international trade routes. And frankly, just through understanding that, you know, international terrorists sitting in the desert don't get to control the world order. And President Trump made a strong statement to emphasize that.
That's a great line. Let's get to the phone lines. Amelia in Virginia, you're on with John, Paul, and Rabbi Mencken. Go ahead, Amelia.
Great show, John. And looks like you might be right on your pick of Houston in the basketball tournament.
I changed it to Duke. I bet the Cougars at 7-1, but then after the Duke win, I went ahead and laid some of that money off and bet Duke. I don't think they're going to beat Duke.
But I got to get the money back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good. I'm going to win now either way because I got 7-1 early, so I'm good either way. But I didn't double down. But well, go ahead.
Anyway, I want to talk to you about this filibuster thing. Remember, the Democrats were all for the filibuster, and believe me, if they were in the same position we are, that had already been done. And if we ought to go ahead and do it, because if they're ever in the same position, they're going to do it anyway. We could control the courts that way. Trump's get rid of these three-letter agencies. He could do that legislatively, and it would make everything run smoother. And you got to play the game the way they play it. If they get in power, the first thing they're going to do is get rid of the filibuster, make Puerto Rico a state, make D.C. a state, and do all those things they threaten to do, they will do. And we need to beat them to the punch and just go ahead and do it and make Trump's 4 years the best 4 years we've ever had. We're just playing softball.
I don't know. It's hardball. The problem with that, Andrew, it's very dangerous. I mean, it's very dangerous to do that. But you're right. Republicans are going to be hesitant to do it. But I think if the Democrats get control, they'll do it immediately. I mean, they don't care. I mean, I think they've proven that out.
Paul, why are we playing softball?
Because that's what we do. Paul, you want to comment on that, and then we'll get to the rabbi?
That's a good point. That is what we do. That's a great point. I know there's a lot of folks here in D.C. considering that. The one thing that gives me pause about it, it's not so much this institutional concern, the history of the Senate, right? I mean, like, okay, whatever. But it's the fact that the filibuster is designed to protect minority rights. Like, that's kind of how it's set up. And conservatives, at least in my lifetime and in the foreseeable lifetime, are the minority, not only in the Senate, but the minority in the Republican Party. And so anything that weakens minority rights, I get a little nervous because it could weaken conservative influence. So that's the only thing that gets me nervous about that. But I do hear your point. It's a great point that Democrats will probably just jump in and do it as soon as they can.
I mean, they're just evil, right? Rabbi, you wanna give the final word here on this segment?
Well, I can only say that, you know, political machinations, of course they happen on both sides. But yes, Democrats are uniquely prolific at doing something and then being screaming loudly when Republicans do exactly the same thing. Their guiding hallmark is what's for my political benefit, not what's serious. I mean, sorry to say this as we're going out, but, you know, think about Chuck Schumer and fighting anti-Semitism only when it's not politically better and expedient to keep it under the rug, as he did last year.
Paul Tiller, you're in Washington, D.C., right, Paul?
Oh, yes, sir.
Hey, do me a favor. Stay on the line. I just noticed I don't have your mobile. I've got your email, but not your mobile. Stay on the line. Give your mobile to Tyler. Maybe we'll get together for coffee or something, because I'm
be here great.
In the district as well. And hey, Rabbi, I got to tell you.
I'm in Baltimore. Just don't be like the radio host who invited me out for crab cakes.
I'll go to Baltimore for the Pimlico. That's the only time I go there. Otherwise,
I'm right there.
Or if the Astros are playing, when the Astros play the Orioles in Camden Yards, I'll go. That's the only two times I go to Baltimore.
Have gotten it, but because crab is not kosher, the host who invited me out for crab cakes was.
Oh, I didn't
was
get
laughing.
It.
He was very embarrassed. I don't know.
I didn't get it. I tell you this: Ann was up here last weekend in D.C. and we were talking about our visit to Crown Heights a couple weeks ago, and how fascinating that was. It was really interesting. There are no crab cakes in Crown Heights, but a lot of Jewish delicatessens, one on every other the three on every corner, let's put it that way, but we had a good time there. And what I loved was the Crown Heights Police Authority, like they created their own Jewish like cops there. It was pretty incredible.